Now we invite Brother Brent McLaren to develop the theme, Imitate God in Your Family, Exerting Power Responsibly.
I have here in my hand a little battery. I don't know if you can see it very well or not from where you're sitting, but it's just a standard little battery. Maybe you've used one just like it in a flashlight, a small flashlight, or maybe the remote control for your television. But whatever the case, no doubt you're aware that in order to get the full potential from the power that's in this battery, you have to do a couple things. First of all, you have to put it to use. Just in my hand, the power doesn't do any good. And you know, if you were to put this battery in backwards, it also wouldn't work. And in some cases, when you connect a battery backwards, it can actually cause damage. So that just illustrates for us that when we're talking about power, there's a need to use it in a responsible and a correct way. So now let's take a little bit of power that's in this battery, and let's multiply it infinitely and talk about the source of all power, that being Jehovah. Does Jehovah make use of his power? Well, obviously, yes. All we have to do is look around. Everything we see is a result of Jehovah's creative power. But you know, Jehovah uses his power responsibly as well. Take out your Bibles, please, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 28. And in this verse, we'll see how it is that Jehovah does use his power in a responsible way. So the context of this verse is that the Israelites in the days of Jeremiah needed some correction. So what would Jehovah do about it? Well, let's read in Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 28. It says there, "So do not be afraid, my servant Jacob, declares Jehovah, for I am with you. I will make an extermination among all the nations where I dispersed you. But you, I will not exterminate. I will discipline you to the proper degree, but I will by no means leave you unpunished." So how did Jehovah use his power of correction in dealing with the Israelites? Well, he didn't turn a blind eye and ignore what they were doing, did he? The verse says that he would punish them. But at the same time, he didn't use his power to such an extreme degree that his people would be annihilated. So he used his power responsibly. Or as the verse says, to the proper degree. So that's the point that we want to imitate in line with the theme for our assembly today. We want to imitate Jehovah's use of power and use it in a responsible way. So how can we do this in the family? Well, first of all, let's talk to parents in the audience today. So parents, do you have power in the family? Well, definitely you do, and you do because Jehovah has given you power and authority. We see this by looking at the scriptures. We don't have time to look at these verses, but maybe mark them down in your notes. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 tells parents to train their children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 tells parents to inculcate or teach their children to fear God and to respect his standards. One more scripture. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 13 says, "Do not hold back discipline." So you see, as parents, we've been given the authority to train, to teach, and to discipline our children. So if we were to fail to use that power, it would be like taking this battery out of your remote control and wondering why you can't change the channel with your remote. It just doesn't work. So likewise, as parents, if we fail to use the power that Jehovah has given us to help our children to grow into responsible, spiritually mature children, it's not going to work if we don't use the power. So the first aspect of using our power in a responsible way is making sure that we use the power we've been given. So what are some things that can help us to do that we as parents can keep in mind when we're doing this? Well, we'll just mention three things. First of all, we need to take time with our children. And this will allow us not to talk to them, but to listen to our children, so that we can discern what their needs are, so that we can discern what traits may be developing within them. And then in this way, we're able to apply the proper degree of training and teaching and discipline. So take that time to talk and listen to your children. Number two, we need to be consistent in our discipline. So if we set out consequences for certain acts of disobedience or misbehavior, we need to follow through. So why is that so important? Well, we know one of the principles in the scriptures that never fails. We can think of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 that says, you reap what you sow. So we're doing our children a favor by helping them to learn that there are consequences to their decisions, good or bad. So by teaching them that early on, we're really doing them a favor as they grow. The final point we want to keep in mind has to do with making sure we're not misusing our power. Because remember, with the battery, if you put it in backwards, it doesn't work and it can cause damage. Well, likewise, the scriptures show us if we abuse our power as parents, we can do the same thing. It won't work and we could damage our children. Let's look at the scripture in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. And there, that was Colossians 3 and 21. You fathers, do not be exasperating your children so that they do not become downhearted. So we don't want to crush our children with our discipline. We don't want them to become downhearted, do we? So as a parent, when we're disciplining our children, never would we want to be abusive, whether physically or emotionally or in any way. So a good rule of thumb is to not discipline when we're angry, because then the tendency could be there to abuse the power that we have. But rather, we want to administer correction in a loving way so as to help our children retain their dignity. So there's a lot to think about as a parent. So wouldn't it be helpful to see a demonstration? Well, let's do that. We're going to look now at a two-part demonstration. So in the first part of this demonstration, take note of these three things. First of all, how our parent misses an opportunity to provide training, how her attempt to discipline is ineffective, and thirdly, how the child ends up feeling frustrated and alienated.
Well, that didn't look good.
What?
Don't tell me. Not again. How many times?
It's nothing, Mom. Just some from school is asking.
Hand it over. Hand it over now. Are you kidding me? It's that boy from school again. The one who sent you all the hearts and the winky little smiley faces your dad sends me. This is getting serious.
Dad sends you emojis?
This is serious, young lady. We talked about this weeks ago, and you promised.
It's not what you think. He never sent me any more of those things. He is just asking about a school project. May I please have my phone back?
You promised not to text him again.
No, that's not what we said.
I know what we said. That's it. You're done with this phone. You've proven one thing beyond a doubt. You cannot be trusted.
It's just a text.
And you are just out of control. When your dad gets back from his meeting tonight, you'll have to deal with him too. And forget about getting this phone back. You'll not destroy the reputation of this family.
Don't you want to hear my side of the story? You know, you never really listened to me.
So I'm sure you would agree that that didn't go very well. So how could our mother have handled this in a more balanced and responsible way? Well, let's now observe a patient interchange that allows the daughter to retain her dignity, but yet still learning a practical lesson.
Hold on a minute. Well, I see that you really were texting about your school project.
I told you so. No one believes me in this family.
And I see that there are no more of those
emojis, Mom.
Yes, those. Listen, I know you feel smothered sometimes, like we don't trust you, but we do. That's why you have a cell phone in the first place. And a driver's license.
But you are always monitoring my every move. It's so stifling.
I know it seems that way. You may not believe this, but it's not any easier for us than it is for you.
Seriously?
Yes, seriously. We never had a teenage daughter with a cell phone and a photo sharing account before. We love you and we care about you deeply. We don't want to see you get hurt, damage your reputation, or do something that displeases Jehovah.
Mom, it's just a text.
Let me get my tablet. I remember a great Awake article on texting.
Yes, the organization is balanced on this. The articles have shown that we need to use modern ways of communicating.
Okay, here it is. Look at this article. It's in the January 2011 issue of Awake. Am I addicted to electronic media?
I remember that. As I said, so balanced.
Why don't we do this? I'll ask your dad if we can discuss this article during our family worship night this week. What do you say?
Okay, Mom. But can I have my phone back? I was just about to read the daily text.
Thank you, sisters. We certainly appreciated that very practical demonstration showing how, as parents, we can use our power in a responsible and effective way. But did you know that parents are not the only ones in the family that have power? If you're a child living at home, you too have power in the family. Are you curious? Are you sitting there scratching your head wondering, what power do I have? My parents have all the power. Well, let's take out our Bibles and answer that together. So please look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. And we'll see what power you have. So that was Proverbs 10 and verse 1. It says there, a wise son makes his father rejoice, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. So what power do you have? Well, you have the power to affect the happiness of your parents. You can increase the happiness of your family. So how do you show Jehovah that you want to imitate his use of power and use the power you have in a responsible way? Well, in a nutshell, it's by responding to the training that your parents are trying to give you. Now, perhaps you're sitting there thinking, I don't know about that. I've been told that I'm better off to do my own thing, strike out on my own. Yeah, I'll make some mistakes, but at least I'll be in a position to, as an adult, be able to face the challenges of life. Well, that's one way of thinking, and we hear that a lot in the world, don't we? But remember what the verse said in Proverbs 10 and 1? It talked about the wise son. So how does a person become wise? Well, just flip back, still in Proverbs, chapter 1, and look at verse 5. It says, a wise person listens and takes in more instruction, and a man of understanding acquires skillful direction. So you see, a wise person is smart enough to benefit from the experience of those around him, and especially his parents, who love him so much. And that's how the wise person became wise in the first place. So far from stifling your growth, accepting wise advice is your quickest route to becoming an adult. Still in chapter 1 of Proverbs, just let your eyes go back to verse 4 and see the effect that this course has on a young person. So Proverbs 1 and 4 says, to impart shrewdness to the inexperienced, to give a young man knowledge and thinking ability. So isn't it thinking ability that we want? So this course of action will equip you to analyze problems and will help you to draw sound conclusions as to how to solve them and put you in the best position to meet the challenges of life. Yes, this will help you to be able to exert your youthful power in the most responsible way, Jehovah's way. So remember our battery. To experience and benefit from the power that's in this battery, it has to be used correctly, right? Well, likewise in the family, when the power is used responsibly within the family, all will benefit and all will reach their potential.